Brothers and sisters, please open your Bibles with me on Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Let's read the Word of God with faith. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Let them fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish in abundance of peace till the moon is no more. May he also rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Let the nomads of the desert bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and of the islands bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. And let all kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. He will rescue their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. So may he live, and may the God of Sheba be given to him, and let them pray for him continually, and let them bless him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the earth on top of the mountains. Its fruit will wave like the cedars of Lebanon. And may those from the city flourish like vegetation of the earth. May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. And let men bless themselves by him. Let all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you help us tonight. May you help us as we open, as we read, explain, and apply your word to your people. May your Holy Spirit help us to understand your word, to receive your word with faith, and to apply it to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a longing for a leader that takes care of us in our hearts. And we can see it more evident during times of presidential election. I was in Washington, D.C. last 4th of July, and I saw many people wearing t-shirts and flags pro or against a candidate. I love to watch presidential candidates debating, and when they are not attacking each other, and they pretty often attack each other, they discuss about economy, social programs, education, in other words, their political agenda. In some degree, the presidential election in the US and Brazil has a messianic connotation. The closer to the election, the more your candidate can become a kind of messiah that only he or she will be able to save you or to save the country. Therefore, this longing can also lead to idolatry. Well, the figure of the president has its appeal to our heart and our imagination. So you can expect that next year we will see many fights over candidates on the TV, radios, social media, as well as friendships ending, and many people unfriending or putting to sleep others on Facebook. I must confess that before a presidential election in Brazil last year, I needed to put my mother to sleep on Facebook because I wanted some peace in my feed. May she never find out. Do you know why we have this longing? Because our heart was made to follow someone greater than we are. Of course, because we are fallen creatures living in a fallen world, we try to find this leader in other human beings. However, Psalm 72 will teach us that the answer for our longing is not in politics or economics. It is theological. It is biblical. Our longing points us to a king that can satisfy us fully. His name is Jesus Christ. So tonight we are going to see that Psalm 72 teaches us that God promises us a righteous and compassionate king that will govern in our favor forever and everywhere. God promises us a righteous and compassionate king that will govern in our favor forever and everywhere. This psalm is a psalm written by Solomon. It seems that right after David's death and Solomon's enthronement, he prayed to God to give him the ability to reign. Therefore, we see in verse 1 that Solomon refers to himself in his petition both as the new king and as the king's son. So it is a royal psalm. However, after we read this prayer, we notice that Solomon is praying for another king, greater than himself. So it is also a messianic psalm, because it not only contains Solomon's desire for God's blessing to his kingdom, but also the Bible's messianic agenda for the reign of the messianic king. So we will see in verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 17 that God promises us a righteous and compassionate king. God promises us a righteous and compassionate king. In the first four verses, Solomon mentioned the term righteousness three times, which shows us how it was important to him. So he's praying that God will grant him the ability to rule and to judge in conformity with God's own righteousness. He wanted to be a godly king, to reign as a true representative of God and to do God's will. That should be the desire of anyone who holds any kind of authority, right? In part of the debates and articles about the presidential election are saying that the most important thing that the next president will need to deal with is the economy. I'm not saying that the economy doesn't matter, but this psalm makes clear that the first and foremost thing a leader, a president, a king will need to face is righteousness and justice. The conformity with the revealed word of God. Like Solomon, we should be praying for our country. We should be praying for righteous leaders. We should also be praying for righteous leaders for the church. It is what the church needs, right? Church leaders who in their personal lives, in their actions, in their teachings, set forth what is revealed in God's word. That is what we need in our homes, isn't it? Wives, you should be praying for your husbands. God, give him righteousness. Make him righteous. And husbands, you should be praying for your wives. God, give her godliness. Likewise, we ought to be praying for our children. What do we desire for our children? We desire many things for sure. But the most important should be righteousness. God, may they be found righteous in your sight. May they be found having faith in Jesus Christ. That should be our main concern in our prayers for our boys and girls. In verse 2, Solomon amplifies righteousness with justice to those who are weak and in need. Notice that it is not only a legalistic righteousness, but a righteousness infused with love, concern, mercy, compassion for those who are weak and needy. Now, in verses 3, 4, 15 to 17, we see the results that God grants for this righteous leader. Speaking metaphorically, Solomon writes about the prosperity of the people and the crushing of the oppressor. Here, the righteous leader is considered to bear the fruit of shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that means peace in the most expansive sense. A prosperous well-being in every way possible. Brothers and sisters, it is very important to us to know that in God's agenda, in order to have shalom, we should have righteousness first. In God's agenda, in order to have shalom, we should have righteousness first. As we can see in verse 3, read with me. Let the mountains bring peace to the people in the hills in righteousness. You see the link, bring peace to the people in righteousness. So the solution of any kind of oppression, weakness, or poverty is not only economic, social, or intellectual, it is theological. It is a result of a righteous nation, a righteous church, a righteous family, a righteous person. Look how blessed are those under the reign of the righteous king in verses 15 and 16. Read with me, please. So may he live, and may the God of Sheba be given to him, and let them pray for him continually. Let them bless him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit will wave like the cedars of Lebanon, and may those from the city flourish like vegetation of the earth. Of course, we are all mature to know that this does not mean that Christians in every place we all become rich. Riches are not always a blessing. And we all know that, right? The righteousness that Solomon talks here do not come to his people through him or through any other king of Israel. Rather, it came only through Jesus Christ. Solomon's name means peace. Although he began his reign following his father's footsteps, and maintained peace in Israel against foreign attacks, he made many mistakes. He was not perfect. He was not righteous enough. If you remember, he began his reign asking God to judge to understand a heart, to judge between good and evil. And in other words, he asked God for wisdom to be righteous in God's sight. But we are talking about a man that married 1,000 women, and most of them were not even Israelites. He oppressed the poor. He turned to idols. He was not perfect at all. So in verses 12 to 14, we see that this king is not only a righteous king, but also a compassionate king. Solomon was good, righteous, and compassionate, especially at the beginning of his reign. But he became an oppressor of his people. He transgressed God's law, and as a result of it, the people suffered. At one point, he basically enslaved the nation to build the might buildings he wanted to build. So we see that this psalm wasn't fulfilled by Solomon, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my dad's favorite parts of the Bible illustrates well this point. When Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be killed and to pay the penalty of our sins, he had a lot of things go passing through his mind, and he was passing by a city called Jericho, and there was a blind man who heard that Jesus was going to pass by. So he cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus heard that little voice crying out to him, he stopped and he gave attention to that man and he healed that man. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the compassionate King. I don't know how your life is going, but know that it doesn't matter how broke and messy your life is right now. If you come to Him crying out to the righteous and compassionate King of the universe to have mercy on you, He will hear you. Why? Because Psalm 72 promises us that He will look to the needy. He will look to the afflicted. He will look to the poor. He will save them. And what do we need? As sinners, we need a Savior that can redeem us from our sins. So when you realize that you are a poor of spirit and you need a Savior and you cry out to Him, He will redeem you from your sins and purify you in such a way that, read verse 14 with me, please. He will rescue the life from oppression and violence in such a way that your blood will become precious in His sight. If you recognize your sinful situation, you must cry out to this compassionate King, and He will listen you. Jesus is the right and compassionate King promised in the Bible because He not only displays righteousness and compassion, but He can actually give righteousness and compassion. He can make us righteous. He can declare us righteous. And how can He do it? He did it by dying on the cross for our sins. And if we trust in Him by grace through faith, our blood is made brighter than snow, and then His righteousness is imputed to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the coming of Jesus Christ is God's definitive answer to Solomon's prayer. Are you a servant of this righteous and compassionate King? Are you a citizen of this glorious kingdom? But Solomon continues in verses 5 to 7. And we see that God promises us a King that will govern in our favor forever. God promises us not only a righteous and compassionate King, but also a kingdom that endures forever. In verse 5, we see Solomon asking God a long reign. You see, while the sun endures throughout all generations. And we know that God gave him a long reign over Israel. However, he did not live forever. Solomon governed Israel for about 40 years. Yet the time came when Solomon died. We learn from the two books of the Kings that Israel had some bad kings and good kings. But all kings governed for a limited period. they all died. Therefore, God ultimately answered Solomon's prayer in Jesus Christ, who is alive, governing all things at the right hand of the Father. Now, here is the good news about our King Jesus Christ. We will never face the end of his kingdom. He is righteous, he is compassionate, his reign brings prosperity, and he sits upon the throne, and he will continue to do so ever and ever. But and there will never be a time in all the ages yet to come when his perfect, finished work does not stand for you and me as we trust in him by grace through faith. There will never be a time in all the ages yet to come when Jesus' perfect, finished work does not stand for you and me as we trust in him by grace through faith. Praise be God to the everlasting reign of our Jesus Christ. As Daniel said, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. He will not pass away. His kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, we have a metaphor of how life is abundant in the kingdom of Jesus. You see, look at the text. There is rain, water, righteous flourish, and then there is peace. Brothers and sisters, this is the imagery of the kingdom inaugurated by Jesus. And we can already see it and live part of these things through faith in him. However, there will be a day when he returns, when there will be abundant blessings, there will be no misery and tragedies. There will be perfect, righteous, and peace with God through Christ. Oh, if you are not a Christian yet, and you are wondering how it is like to be a Christian, it is like a rain falling upon the grass, bringing to your soul life. Come now to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your entire life to him, who is able to save you from your sins, to redeem you from the oppression and violence of your sinful nature, and to give you a life of righteousness and peace with God. Are you a servant of this everlasting King? Are you a citizen of this glorious kingdom? Solomon continues his prayer in verses 8 to 11. In verse 8 and 9, we see that Solomon pointed to the Father's point from east to west. And in verses 10 and 11, I'm sorry, in verses 8 and 9, Solomon pointed to the Father's point from east to west. And in verses 10 to 11, he pointed to the Father's point from north to south that Israel knew about. So what is Solomon doing here? He's drawing a world map to Israel to say to them that this king will have dominion over everything, over all lands that they knew about at the time or conceive of, over all creatures and over all their actions. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ's reign is not only an everlasting kingdom, but also a universal kingdom, because wherever the gospel is preached faithfully, there Christ is reigning through his people and through his church. Wherever the gospel is preached faithfully, there Christ is reigning through his people, through his church. In verse 8 says that he rules over all people. In verses 9 to 11 says that everyone will render tributes and bow down before him. So Solomon is praying that more and more people come to Jerusalem to worship God. We know that in Solomon's time, that was partially fulfilled because he built God's temple in Jerusalem. But look at verse 15. Verse 15 talks about the gold of Sheba. In the story of when the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem, illustrates well this point, because she had heard about Solomon's glory and she came to worship God. When she went to Jerusalem to see Solomon, she was probably questioning her mind, how does this God and how does this king look like? Please turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's see what she said. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 to 9. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Now, if you are not a Christian yet, and you want to know how it is like to serve the righteous and compassionate King Jesus, that is a good description for you today. However, you need to come and trust in him, and when he converts you, you will say like the Queen of Sheba, "I did not believe in the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it." However, you Christian, imagine how wonderful and glorious the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes and again, and then we will say like the Queen of Sheba, "Oh Lord Jesus, the half was not told me. You exceed everything I could have ever imagined. Isn't it exciting to serve this king? Are you a servant of this universal king? Are you a citizen of this glorious kingdom? Well, after Solomon prayed, he praises the Lord by blessing his name in verses 18 and 19. Christ's reign was inaugurated, and we as his people, we as his church, already live in it. Of course, until Jesus returns, we will live in a fallen world, and it will not be easy. Do not be foolish. However, we can praise as Solomon praised after his prayer, because we know that Jesus is the righteous and compassionate King promised by God that is governing right now all things in our favor, and he will do so forever and everywhere. That is truly good news. That is the gospel. We, as Christ's church, we are part of the fulfillment of Solomon's prayer. Therefore, your life must be a life of praise to our righteous, compassionate, everlasting, and universal King, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for this night, for this opportunity in your day that we had to learn more about you. Help us, Lord, to apply all the truths that we've learned today to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.